B-Pod Studios.
On the phone with us right now, a true American hero, the fourth man to walk on the moon as a member of Apollo 12, also flew on Skylab. He is a renowned artist. It's a pleasure to have Alan Bean on the phone. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Stan and Haney. Glad to be here.
Man, you are one hell of an accomplished artist. Were you into this stuff while you were a member of the space program?
Well, first of all, thanks for the nice words. Yeah, that was my hobby way back when I was a test pilot before I became an astronaut, but never thought I'd be a professional artist. I just did it because I liked it, and then after I got back from the moon and several years after that, I began to think about it a little bit, and I said, you know, I'm the only artist on Earth that's ever been anywhere besides the Earth. Maybe I could learn to paint this and people would like it. So I began to try to paint the moon. It was so difficult because the moon is gray and the sky's black and we were running around in white suits. And that isn't all that pretty when you think about it, is it?
I guess not, but some of the stuff that you've done where you put the command module pilot, put him in the spacesuit and made him on the moon with you.
I did. In fact, when I left the space program back in 83 to do this job, I said, I'm going to put Dick on the ground. I went with Pete Conrad, who was the commander.
That's
he
right.
And I walked around on the moon on Apollo 12 in November of 1969, the Ocean of Storms. Dick Gordon stayed in the command module to keep care of it. So we always, you know, wanted him to get down there and have all the fun, but he couldn't do it. So I said, when I get to be an artist, I'll put him on the moon. And this painting has the three of us, and it has him in the middle, and we're all looking at the TV. And so in the fantasy, that's why it's called a fantasy, the people in Mission Control are probably saying, what's he doing down there? Who's watching the command module? And
I think another funny thing about that, if memory serves me correctly, there was no TV for you guys on Apollo 12. It wasn't Pete Conrad coming out of the LEM and somehow the camera got knocked out and TV coverage with you guys on the moon immediately following, you know, the success of Apollo 11, everyone waiting, first color pictures from the moon, and the TV goes out.
Well, you're absolutely right, but let's don't blame Pete Conrad for that. That was me.
Oh, it was you!
Yeah, I come down the ladder, I take the TV camera, I'm setting it up, and I point it at the sun. I was the guy that messed that thing up for everybody on Earth, and I've never been able to live it down. I hear about it and all the time, and all I can do is kind of hang my head and say, yeah, that was me. I did that.
Now, that was not something that you did so that your paintings would sell better, so that you could
no,
say this is the only way you'll see that.
Not a bad
version.
Idea. No, I would, that, if I had anything that I would almost do in my life over again, that would be the one thing that I wouldn't do, make that mistake.
You had to take such crap from the people back down at Mission Control when you did that. I mean, I could only imagine the heat you took from knocking out the TV.
Well, they did. They were also disappointed. Now, nobody was more disappointed than we were. You know, the thing that was amazing to me, Pete Conrad on the moon, the commander, he didn't say a word. He just tried to figure a way to fix it because we weren't sure why I'd broken it, and even that I had at that time, and we tried to figure out a way to fix it, but of course we found out later that what I'd done wrong, and he never complained about it. He's usually defended me, and I'd be saying things like I just did, and he'd be saying, well, I don't think Al really made that mistake or something. You know, and he knew I did. He was a good leader. That's why they made him commander. Most of being an astronaut, like anybody else's job, is going to meetings, being at work, try to study your book, trying to figure out how to fly something, try to learn geology. It's all hard work. You know, that was a 10-day mission.
Yeah.
The story lasted, plus the training, was about 2 years.
And you got to tell me this, because I don't know if this has happened in any space mission before or since. You guys, at liftoff, were hit by a bolt of lightning. You went off in a lightning storm. What was that like? What were you guys thinking when here's the Saturn V getting hit by a bolt of lightning?
Well, first of all, you're right, and we never thought about it. I'm talking about all of NASA and everyone else, and we launched right up into this thunderstorm, and it was raining real hard. They said, well, let's go ahead and launch. No one had thought about it. I know it seems crazy because lightning bolts hit airplanes all the time, and they don't do them any good. When it struck us, we weren't even sure that was it. But it disconnected the fuel cells. It put about 14 emergency lights on. we had more alarm lights on in that spacecraft than anybody has ever had in space flight before or since. We weren't sure that it was a lightning strike. We thought something else had gone wrong. And fortunately, the designers of the command module in the Saturn V had made it so the backup systems, if you ever lost all fuel cells, now that was all the power that there was, except the little batteries that power you during entry. But they're on the circuits, and they picked up the load, and they held the load, even though the lights were on, they held enough load so that the Saturn V kept going into orbit.
Because that could have easily have been a disaster.
Well, it definitely could be. I'll tell you why. After it was all over, they came back and determined the size of the lightning bolt that hit us, because they could do that. And they decide that sort of a moderate-sized lightning bolt hit us. And if they said, and it did all that stuff I just described, if we'd have had a big bolt, then we'd have been finished. We'd have had to abort, and we'd been lucky to get back alive. And so it was like this. We got bad news for you. You're going to get hit by lightning. But we got good news. It's just going to be a moderate-sized lightning bolt.
No problem.
That's right. So it's kind of, it worked out, thank God.
You.
That's where they give you, one of those systems performing nominally.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. Now, one of the things I learned as a test pilot is, and it's something that people need to learn for their lives, too, is if things are going in the right direction, don't do too much drastic. So when we had this failure and we didn't know what to do, no one had ever thought of this or seen anything even remotely like it, we didn't know what to do, but we were smart enough to not throw a bunch of switches and do some things that we didn't know was right or not. And it kept us from making a mistake that might have been fatal. And when we got to talk with Mission Control, which, realize we're still under powered flight and we're being pressed down in our seats, and there's this tremendous noise and vibration, and all these lights are on, and we don't know what to do. We finally got to work with Mission Control, and they had some ideas. They had the report by then that someone on the ground had seen the lightning. Even though they didn't see it hit us because we were in the cloud, they saw the bolt come down and hit the launch pad. So they told us, we began to sort it out, throw some switches, get the fuel cells back on. And by the time we got in orbit, we had the system powered up again. So it was a team operation. It was like Apollo 13, but not near so critical as that wonderful movie.
Was your reaction automatic then to stay calm and try to deal with it, even though you see this going on all around you?
Good question. I mean,
that's a good question. And one of the things you learn through your years being a pilot and a test pilot is how to try to stay calm during these situations. So you're not calm completely, but you're saying to yourself, stay calm. Don't do anything fast. I mean, you don't panic, but you still have those same feelings all human beings have, and you just try to hold them in check. I relate it a lot to when I watch quarterbacks and wide receivers or something during the two-minute drill at the end of a very important football game. You say, how come those guys are so cool? How come? Well, they wouldn't be that cool. They weren't that cool in high school. They weren't that cool in college. But, they gradually built up, and by the time they're in the pros, they could do it. Same way with astronauts. We weren't that cool in flight training or in a regular squadron. We got a little better by the time we were test pilots. By the time we get to be astronauts, we're professionals, so we're not perfect, but we're good. I'm sure that I'm sure that's the way they feel in the Super Bowl. They've got it, but they somehow get it under control and get it out of their mind, and then they can throw the ball. Can you imagine you or I up there in the Super Bowl trying to throw a ball when there's 2 minutes to go?
Oh, many times. If it hadn't been for that damn knee injury, I'm telling you.
Hey, Alan, reading some of the stuff that has been put out about you, you've really, over the years, have learned to appreciate what you have accomplished. I was reading in the newspaper article, when Alan Shepard on Apollo 14 went and hit the golf ball on the moon, probably one of the greatest moments, of space travel. You were so mad that he wasted time doing that, but in retrospect now, you appreciate that.
That's right. I was in Mission Control, and he said something like, well, I've got two little white pellets here. I thought, what are two white pellets? He said they're called golf balls or something. He dropped them down. I said, boy, he's wasting time. He could have gone and collect two or three rocks. It was only two or three years later that I began to say, that is a wonderful thing that he thought of. People remember it. People like it.
Yep.
It's a human thing. And what I wish I'd thought of, and believe me, Pete, I never thought about this one time. We could have taken a football, and I could have thrown a pass to Pete, and he could have caught it, and he could have kicked it back to me. It had been wonderful.
Sure.
But, but we never thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's so many things to do, and we kept saying we want to fly a perfect mission, want to fly, you know, try to do everything we can, and of course we didn't. We knew we wouldn't, and we didn't, but we did. We do. Here we are back on Earth. That's one plus.
You know, you brought up one thing as somebody that grew up in Florida. You brought up moon rocks. You must have brought back an awful lot of them because everybody had one.
What I've talked to so many people through my life that says, they're serious. I mean, it's not like they're lying. They say, I've got a moon rock. I said, where is it? Well, it's in my safety deposit box. I said, where'd you get it? Well, I had a cousin that worked at the space program and had a brother that such. And then I say, well, what's it look like? And they described some rock that was so big it was, I mean, we never even brought back a rock that big. And we just say, well, you know, I don't have any moon rock. None of us have any. We don't even have a little. Well, the reason they did, first of all, we thought we'd get one that's maybe the size we could make a ring out of, see?
Yeah.
It was that size. But we didn't get them. And the reason we didn't is because, you know, a lot of moon rocks were brought back. And they said, well, now let's think about giving. First of all, they all belong to the United States of America. None of them belong to any individual. They belong like the president. And so he can say what to do. And so we started to make a list of people that deserved a little piece. Well, we weren't on the top of the list. We weren't the most important people in Apollo, for sure. The most important people were the people that designed the thing, the people that built it, sure. That imagined it. And I mean, when you look, there were 400,000 people working on it. And that's not talking about the politicians and all the others that worked on it. You know, there were so many more people that deserved one before we ever got one that they wouldn't have any rocks left. And they said, well, we just can't do that.
Alan Bean, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Bye-bye.
And appreciate it.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Was once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. Oh,
someone you know suffers from an addiction to bad radio, please go to stanandhaney.com for help. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody.
Stan.
Yes, Haney.
Have I been doing something wrong?
No.
I mean,
Can I say, well, I can't say it on the air.
Would you say I haven't done a good job of just keeping to myself and staying out of trouble?
Well, I'll find you.
Because Stan, I don't leave my house.
No. I am
a magnet.
I don't have to go into detail with you. You are what you like to believe to be a fixer. And it shouldn't be. You can't fix the world. Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney.
But I want to.
But you can't.
I want to be the opposite of, I'm fitting to go to jail tonight.
Okay.
I want to be the opposite of that.
You can't. You want to find it somewhere in the middle.
Like a happy medium.
Sure. Then you can sleep nice.
So I need a little bit of, I'm fixing to go to jail tonight.
Remember the Star Trek
episode? I need a little bit of that.
Where you had the mean Kirk and the too nice Kirk. And Spock explained to him that, you know, yeah, you have to be there.
But see, I thought I was doing that.
No. No.
So I need to be mean.
No, you need...
I need to be the mean Kirk.
There's the two halves of people. Mean, and sympathetic. Yep. Put them together, and then you got...
Like a mashup.
Yes, now you're talking.
Like a mashup.
Yeah, like a mashup. Now, can you bring up... I don't think Rob can do this. I think he can just... Because I have... mine's locked down for friends only. But I think if you go to my personal Facebook page, Rob, you can see what I did to myself, which evidently is sweeping America. And I got more info on that. Yeah, can you blow that up a little? There, look at that. Look.
Oh, Jesus.
That's me as like a 90-year-old.
I'm
now,
still thinking about the mashup.
Wait a second. Everybody... is going around putting these old faces.
Oh, I saw it. Everybody's doing it.
Here's what I know. And it's too late, and I've already taken the app off my phone. Do you know that they're warning people? Because it's sweeping the nation. Everybody here at the radio station has done it, from Chuck and the Freak. Marvin is doing it to all of our faces on the K-Rock page. This app, which everybody is doing, coming from Russia. And nobody knows. You can get it on your iPhone. You can get it on your...
So what? Russians are brilliant with software.
No, they don't know what the purpose is. And
the purpose is to show you what you look like when you're old. It's vanity.
There's something bad going on with this, that they're trying to get America to go and do it because they're trying to get information from our social media. But it's too late for me. Look at that. You know what? They got you. You're not much different. There's Dave.
What do I look like?
There you are.
Oh, I look the same.
You look exactly the same. Exactly. That's what I said this morning. I said, wait a second. Did they do Haney? No, it looks exactly the same.
I'm good, man. Yeah. This is as bad as it's going to get.
But look at that. That's,
you are going to age hard, man.
I
thought you already had, but
yeah,
man, you got a ways to go.
That's horrific with me.
I think you're kind of distinguished looking.
But I am you know what? It makes me look extremely old.
You look like somebody that could have signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yep. I look like a founding father.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
A lot of character. Because all the bulges under your eyes and stuff
Big
get pronounced.
Bags. That's a man that's lived life right there. He's seen
and
it
he
all.
Will still hit you.
Yep.
He'll hurt you bad.
They got me all, look at that skin all leathery and fine-tooled, and every crease has a story.
That's a formidable man.
Yeah, look at Dave, though. He's even got him with a, well, he's got a receding hairline, but he's got him really good and bald.
Dave
and
looks like the bastard child of James Randi.
Yes! Except James Randi doesn't have children.
Well, you know, these days.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
All right.
Anybody can have children.
We had, yeah, it's true. It wasn't like it when we were growing up.
You know, whether you have...
saw two men with a child.
Yeah, any combination, it'll work just fine.
All right, we got to take a break.
I got to take mean lessons now.
Well, look, you know what?
Because what you're telling me is I'm not mean enough.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You want to fix the world's problems. Now, we all have a portion of us that is cruel and thoughtless.
I really try not to. I have tried not to, Stan.
That's very empathetic. And you got to put the two together. There is a time. I can't describe this on the air.
Is it time?
It's time. It's time. You need to... What you're doing right now isn't working.
But I haven't done anything.
Yes, you have. You've tried to fix. You've tried to fix. And when people think that you can fix it, they take their alligator skin luggage and they throw it on your back.
Well, it's got to be, you know, a weight off their shoulders.
It sure is. We'll be back.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why? How? I do not grasp the concept that trying to do the right thing and be nice, doesn't work.
And I'm not saying you go to the extreme of somebody like me that will close the door and make sure they hear the deadbolt.
Well, all they hear from you is get out.
Yes. No, I don't.
And then there's not another word said, ever.
I'm not saying be that way, although...
It's worked well for you.
You got to do what you got to do.
You know, I do have to say, it has worked out very well for you.
You let them hear that deadbolt, knowing that there's no way back in. We got to take a break. Smarter than Haney coming up. I think you have a chance to win. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
An almost Nixonian paranoia displayed prominently and proudly in a public forum. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, it's Stan and Haney. You know what? I love this. Shark Girl just texted us with I was trying to explain the Captain Kirk, the good and the evil Kirk.
So does she think I need to be more mean?
No, here's what Shark Girl said.
She's smart. She knows things.
Precisely. Absolute Law text line. Haney, you don't have to be mean. You just can't let your guard down ever. Unless you're pooping, but even then, snakes can hide in your toilet. So true. Grab bag.
I don't belong here.
Where do you belong? I got a few things.
I would say probably from 1900 to 1935. Somewhere
that's where
in
belong?
There, where you know, I'd be wearing a straw hat and go, "Well, howdy do."
Mm-hmm.
Missed you at church this week,
Rob. Where should he be? Where should Haney be?
You hit my mama! You hit my mama! I'm going to jail tonight. I'm thinking to go to jail. I'm ready to go to jail tonight.
That's the way it's going.
I'm fixing to go to jail tonight.
Woo! Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. US 41 in North Naples.
I do not understand the world.
No.
And then did you see what else happened at Disneyland?
Yes, I did see what happened. No, it looks like nobody's there.
Yeah, because they said it was too crowded, and so they kicked everybody out. There's nobody there now.
Here's what they did at
There was no line at Space Mountain in Disneyland.
And they got the new Star Wars thing. Here's what they did. This is wild. And take a look at the pictures on the news. You've been to Disney World or Disneyland, and it's packed. And you're waiting for, 2 hours to get onto a ride.
Forget 2 hours to get on a ride. You're just walking down Main Street USA in the street. And, excuse me.
What Disney did is...
I don't know how they can do that. Isn't that a breach of a contract?
First of all, they widened the sidewalks.
From 3 to 6 feet.
So they doubled the size of the sidewalks, and they put season pass holders...
Their annual pass.
Yeah, they're now blackout dates in the summer where they can't go.
How can they do that?
And so,
they could do it in the future, but people that have already paid for it?
So with the wider sidewalks, double the size, and blackout dates for annual pass holders...
There's nobody there.
It looks like the place is empty. Yeah.
People?
Oh, sorry. I'll keep that down. I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show.
As hot days continue, any man working outdoors can tell you don't want your ball peen hammer sticking to your nuts and bolts. That's why you need the new peen pouch. Keeps your tool tucked away from your other parts, keeping it cool and dry all hot day long.
What about us guys with smaller tools?
Well, little fella, you need the new peenie pad. A soft puff of sheepskin fluff treated with baby powder so your pokey Joe don't get any friction.
We still talking about tools?
As the heat continues, you and your hammer will have it made in the shade with the new peen pouch. Slide your hammer in today. That feels good.
Well, sounds like a good product.
It sure does. Ask for it by name. Peen pouch. There you go. You know, birds. Boids.
Thank you. I didn't even have to say it.
Here's a boid who learned how to sing Baby Shark. Like a cockatoo.
No, that's a love boy.
That's not a love boy.
It looks like a love boy or a parakeet. It's a tiny little fella.
No, it is. That's a big parakeet.
No, it's not.
Rob, does it say what kind of boy it is? Is it a?
I would guess it's a love boy.
I don't think it's a love bird.
Doesn't say on the video.
I think it's in the parakeet family, I think.
Fake news, then.
Yeah, if they don't tell you what the hell kind of bird it is, it's fake news.
What kind of what?
Boy. moving on. Oh, you know what? I haven't seen the picture unpixelated, and I don't know if it's... anywhere where it can be found. The sites I've gone to, the photo bomber is pixelated. Let me explain something. And a mom is very upset by it. A family from Texas. It
sounds like the name of a book.
What?
The photo bomber is pixelated.
Yep. And I'd like to see the whole deal. A family from Tennessee.
Well, I think you got to pay for a subscription if you want that.
I don't know.
Like the old days when, you know, you could watch the porn between the vertical holes.
Now, here you go. A family from Texas were posing for a photo at a national park. Apparently, they were recreating a photo of the dad's grandmother who recently passed away. And a woman... in the background, photobombed it, pulling up her shirt and giving the old boob shot while another guy is above.
Hi-yo.
Yeah, well, let Mom explain this. But she, there she is. But it's all clouded over. Here, let Mom explain.
We're trying to recreate memories, and having some chick's boob isn't allowing us to do that. There it is, just fully exposed. Had no idea that was going on. I just felt completely disrespected. This person should be held accountable, whether it's knowing that she did is wrong and that kids were there watching. I think this is a big deal. Let's make this go viral so that she can be embarrassed. And I've had criticism on both sides. People are like, oh, who cares? It's just the boob. And
it is.
I want to see the real thing. But I don't think they're there because they don't know who the chick is.
Just a little cheeky monkey.
Yeah.
You know what I found very entertaining?
What?
You did it on the grab bag yesterday about the woman that went and stole her car back.
Yeah.
I watched the full video of her.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? This is highly entertaining.
Sure it is. I guess it went for a couple of days that she was stalking her car.
And when she rolled up, and there was like, I guess, three or four people that were involved in all this, she gets her car back, and there's drug paraphernalia all over the place.
Yeah, a case of beer cans, in the back. Yep.
And then she rolls up on him, and it's a fat woman.
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, she has to taunt her and all that. But the fat woman immediately said, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. It wasn't me. And she's going, you're wearing my shoes. You have my purse in your hand with my ID.
Yeah.
I don't know what this lady's talking about. She's crazy. And the officer says, well, can I see the ID that's in your purse? Absolutely. I don't know what she's talking about. Lady cop has the license and says to the woman that got her car back, and what is your name? Name on the license, all over. But it's interesting to watch people in the process of being caught.
Oh, yeah.
Where they still think there's a way out of this.
That's why I love like watching the first 48, where the cops already know the answers to everything, and the guy being interrogated in there is trying to still go along that he didn't know anything about it. And they got him dead to right. Like this. I love this, too. Bradenton, I believe this was in.
Oh, this is brilliant. This is something.
Guy in Bradenton named Ryan Bray recently offered.
Everybody has their limit.
Yep.
And Ryan hit his.
Ryan Bray recently offered to pay a panhandler. You've seen him holding up the cardboard
homeless
sign.
Homeless, need help.
Yep. Right there at the intersection. He offered to pay the panhandler $15 an hour to do yard work. The panhandler, with the cardboard sign, refused.
Well, he was incredulous. Dare you?
Well, I'll get to him because I'll save that for Ryan to tell you himself.
Well, I hope you got plenty of beeps.
So Ryan went home, made his own sign shaming the panhandler, and followed him around to let other people know.
With a sign that said, I offered this guy $15 an hour.
There you go.
He reached his arms inside my vehicle, resting them, and said, hey, do you got any money? I said, no, but I have one better for you. He said, absolutely not. Started getting belligerent, cursing, and then as I pulled off, he kicked my tire. I can't have my 13-year-old daughter and my wife driving with their windows up and being berated the entire time if they don't give money. I mirrored him with my sign. Wherever he walked, I walked. I've seen a lot of people give a lot of money, and there's a reason they continually sit here.
This is not against the law.
Yeah. There he is. And there's the panhandler bum.
You can't shut me down. That was one of his quotes. And then the rest of them were expletives.
Yeah. All the panhandler would say, this ain't against the law.
I'm telling you, that panhandler, He is so persuasive, I'd have him represent me in a court of law because he knows his stuff about rights and stuff.
He knows all about it. It's great. Yep. This is sad yet amazing, and it's a full life. Back a couple of months ago, I think you might have even done the story. There was a Georgia couple that was celebrating 71 years of marriage. They did the big story on them that they've been married for 71 years. The husband served in World War II, Korea, and Nam. They had 6 children, 12 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. They were married for 71 years. They passed away on Friday. I say they. It's like you always hear, the couples that stay together for so long. They passed away on the same day, about 12 hours
apart. It's the friggin' Notebook.
And here they were when they were celebrating their 71st wedding anniversary.
Francis worked at a little cafe, kept seeing her going in and out. And finally I got up there to ask her if she would go out with me sometime. I asked her, would she have me as her husband? She said, of course.
He was always loving and patient and good-hearted.
Show you love.
And be there for each other. I love you very much.
I love you.
Same day, 12 hours apart, they die.
God bless them.
Yep.
And that really is, that's for the best.
Yep. Dateline.
Because after that much time, you lose somebody, you're lost.
Done. The country's first cannabis restaurant, Dateline Los Angeles. It's called Lowell Farms Cannabis Cafe.
Item is approved.
We've learned how to mitigate and work with the neighborhood and create a safe environment with the community.
We are up for the challenge of kind of introducing this whole new way of interacting with food and smoking cannabis in a space.
Tonight is really big
for
all of us.
Was that Jonah
Hill? Sorry, it could have been a clip from yesterday. Haney, you know this because you've been in a band.
Found some of my old tapes from like 95. Amazing.
Oh, by the way, and I keep wanting to tell you this, on some of the hard drives from shows years past, there's stuff on a hard drive of your stuff too.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
I would like to if you can give me a copy of that hard.
I'll try to do that. But it's been a while since Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young have played together. They've always argued, but I think it came down to a few years back where there was just a horrific fight. I think David Crosby went into the public and said something about Graham Nash's wife. It came to a head.
Out of all
they
of
broke
it,
up.
I'm on Graham Nash's side.
Yeah, me too.
Because he did something nice for me. That's how the world works.
That's right. That's how the world works. And David Crosby, guest on this show, was on Fallon last night where the ultimate question was asked. Will Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young ever get back together again?
You currently don't speak to any of them. Is there a chance of you guys getting together again?
There's always a chance. Never say never, man. I have no bad stuff in my heart about any of those guys, man. Mm-hmm. I made too much great music with them. I love them. We bashed heads with each other so many times. I mean, we were so awful to each other so many times. All of us were. And I think we all know that. About 10 times a day, I get a tweet saying, will you guys get your act together and do your job? We need you to go out and be a voice for the people that love you. If they wanted to do that, like a get-out-the-vote tour, I'd jump on.
And here's case in point. One member, it's great music. Together, it sounds even better because they asked David Crosby if he'd perform Long Time Gone on The Tonight Show, and he did, but it's still not the same. Oh, Absolute Law text line. If my wife passed away and I was that long with her, I'd hold off for a little while and play Destiny all day, every day.
Well, that's understandable as well.
Yeah.
Because you've got to think about all the time that you would have been playing Destiny if she hadn't been, you know, walking up a long spiral staircase into your ass.
The grab bag has been brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. When we come back, we've got some prizes. I'll also do, I love it, a Stan and Haney Insta-win to go see Brian Kilmeade. Also, later on in the 3 o'clock hour, are you smarter than Haney? Up for grabs today if you defeat Haney. We'll get you a pair of Korn tickets. Go see him at Coral Sky on the 28th, and you're in the running for front row seats. Well, we got all that coming up. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
4 hours of whatever is going on in their heads. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Wednesday edition. Phone lines are open if you want to talk to us. 277-9600. You contribute to the show. You could pick up a prize. I've got Firehouse subs. Oh, they're so good. Cape Coral and Fort Myers. You want to do a little fixer-upper around the house. Sunshine Ace Hardware gift certificates. Bam's Restaurant in Naples. Babaku Saw. If you want to see Brian Kilmeade, you can. 277-9600. As you know, during my vacation, I've been...
Your quote-unquote. Yeah. How did you spend your vacation?
Well, I think this would best describe it.
Is it safe?
Is it safe?
You're talking to me?
Is it safe?
It's what safe?
Is it safe?
I don't know what you mean.
I can't tell you if something is safe or not unless I know specifically what you're talking about.
Is it safe?
Tell me what it refers to.
Is it safe?
Yes, it's safe. It's very safe. It's so safe you wouldn't believe it.
Is it safe?
No, it's not safe. It's very dangerous. Be careful.
Relax. Relax.
Come on. Open.
Oh. Okay.
That hurt?
Uh-huh.
No. I was thinking it would. Should take better care of your teeth. You have quite a cavity here. Is it safe?
Look, I call you. I can't do it.
Oh, please don't worry. I'm not going into that cavity again. That nerve's already dying. A live, freshly cut nerve is infinitely more sensitive.
So, I'll just drill into a healthy tooth until I reach the pulse. Unless, of course, you can tell me that it's safe.
Oh, yeah, that's how I spent my vacation.
Sorry to hear that, yeah. Stan.
I've got this. When I was younger, my mama noticed funny things I did.
like shooting puppies with a BB gun. I'd poison guppies when I was done. I'd find a pussycat, bash its head. That's when my mama said,
what did she say?
She said, my boy, I think so.
So I went for my, he wanted to look at it yesterday.
Because he needed to know if it was safe.
Safe. And here's, and I don't understand this. I don't understand the dental world. He said, I need to get you a prescription mouthwash. I said, what? He said, don't do the salt water. You did that. It's not... I need you because you're
septic.
Yeah. And so he got me this prescription-only mouthwash that I'm supposed to use twice a day.
Has it got codeine in it?
No.
Oh.
It's got some kind of antibacterial something. And he said, use this, but I'm going to give you a fair warning. I said, what? It's going to turn your teeth blue.
Isn't that the whole reason you go to the dentist, so your teeth don't turn blue?
I said, what? I said, it's going to turn my teeth. Yeah, it's been known to stain.
Oh, for...
Don't worry, it's not permanent. I said, well, what color is it going to stain my teeth? It's going to stain them green, black. And you know what he said to me? He said, be honest with you, Stan, I don't know what color it's going to stain your teeth. My best bet is to go and just swish it around one side of your mouth so it doesn't stain the smiling teeth. I said to him, I said, why don't you get a prescription of this too and we'll gargle together with it? Oh, no, I can't do that. So, yeah, I got this prescription stuff now. That is doing God knows what to me. Stop. It's not nice.
Are you feeling pain?
Oil, and if you listen to Zell, oil of clove will take the pain right away. Oil of clove. 277.
Yes, I don't believe in any of those high-powered prescription painkillers. A bit of oil of clove.
Yeah. And then you see Dustin Hoffman in that movie. I don't know how many people have seen Marathon Man. It's one of the greatest films ever made. It's an Evans film. And he's just, after Zell's drilled out all of his teeth, he just keeps sucking on that oil of clove till the bottle was gone.
Oh.
And then he said he didn't need any more. He was going to make Zell swallow some diamonds. One at a time.
Doesn't that make you want to hit somebody when they say something like, well, a little oil of clove will do? Just
yes.
Shut up.
Isn't it amazing?
Shut up.
What a simple thing like oil of clove will do for pain. It's your decision. Comfort or pain? Is it safe?
He knew nothing.
He knew nothing. Of course he didn't know. His older brother, Roy Scheider, from Jaws, knew about it.
You know what, you were talking about David Crosby and all that?
Yeah.
I have to give Tommy Schultz so much credit.
Really?
I saw a clip of Boston Live in 2014, and the way he pulled it off was brilliant. It had him pretty much at the keyboards. He didn't move a lot. The original guitar player, Barry Goodrow, was out there.
Yeah.
But surrounding the two of them was a lot of young guys, and they had a chick doing background vocals, and they're, you know, jumping around and all this. And it sounds perfect. I don't know who that vocalist was, but... It sounded just like Brad Delp.
Really?
And the show that they put on was incredible. And, you know, we know how it feels to be a bit older. the way Tommy Schultz had it set up, he's sitting down at the keyboard. He is not jumping around. The most you see from him, and he's doing all the keyboard work, yeah. And then he's got a guitar there where he can reach it without getting up so he can go right back to the keyboard. But the most reaction you see out of him is when the crowd's really into it, just a hint of a wry smile from him, knowing that everybody's enjoying it. We're going to make this happen for the people.
Well, we should have thought about that a few years ago after he... Poor Brad Delp passed away.
Brad Delp was
Journey was able to do it.
You know what? Brad Delp was too good for this world.
Yeah, he was. But, very sensitive man.
But it sounded great, and Barry Goodrow on that guitar sounded perfect. And when you put it together with the young guys with all the energy,
yeah,
it worked. And you know how intricate Boston music is. For that to all come off right.
And where was this? And recently?
It was in 2014.
Oh, okay. So I keep having to tell myself 2014 feels like it was yesterday, but it's not.
It was yesterday.
It was half a decade ago.
Because, see, I'm a time traveler from 2019. Yeah. Yeah. I can show you stuff from 2019 because it's 2015, right?
All right, let me tell you what I'm going to do here. Brian Kilmeade is going
to... Oh, is this your deal were talking about?
Stan Insta-win. Brian Kilmeade, and if you don't know who Brian Kilmeade is, maybe right off the top of your head. First of all, I've been a guest on this show. Great. Brian Kilmeade is...
He's done some great research for some great books.
He has... he is the host... are one of the hosts of Fox and Friends on the Fox News channel. He has his own radio show on our AM sister station here. And
our sister station claims we bully her.
Yeah, and he is an acclaimed historical author.
Our sister station also tells us it's creepy when we hit on her friends.
Yeah.
She needs to shut up.
He is giving a talk and a Q&A. I went to the last one he was at. It was spectacular. He's going to be at the Southwest Florida Event Center on Friday. We have a guest list set up. There's only a couple of seats remaining. Rob, does this person want Kilmeade, or does he want, or is this a regular call? Well, he's trying to... do something. Will you ask him? Can you hear me? Is this a regular call or does he want Kilmeade? Regular call? Hold on. Let me find out and then we'll do.
Let's find out what the issue.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
You're very pleasant. Hi. Yes.
Yes. How are you, little sweetheart?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I think she called us yesterday. She missed out
you
on
did?
The movie.
You did?
Oh, but that's okay. I'd rather talk about Boston.
You'd rather talk about Boston. Well, you got to speak up for us, sweetheart, okay?
Okay. Yes, they're my favorite band in the world. I've seen them since they first came out. And the lead singer was Tommy DiCarlo.
Is that who that was? He's very good.
He's even better now that he's practiced a lot more. I've seen him every time.
So Tommy DiCarlo was the guy that's been singing in place of Brad Delp?
Yes.
I was really surprised at how good he was.
All right.
Well, when he first was with them, he was okay, but now with...
So he was with them before Brad Delp?
No, after.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, no, she's saying he's been getting better over the years.
Can hardly hear you, Karen. Is that her name, Karen?
Sure. Yeah.
Karen,
can I get you something?
You sure could.
What do you want?
What do you got?
You want something to eat?
Yeah, I like food.
Whereabouts do you live? Cape Coral, Fort Myers, where?
On the border.
Oh, no, that's... Best I can do is something in Cape Coral.
But I work in Fort Myers.
Okay.
That changes everything.
I'm going to give you a gift certificate to Firehouse Subs. They got them in Cape Coral and Fort Myers.
Oh, that's fabulous. Right. I can go to one in the Forum.
Now, Karen, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
You've been a fan of Boston since the beginning. What do you think is the best song they ever did?
That is Foreplay, Long Time.
I knew she was going to say that.
How did you know that?
Because I'm a mind reader. Hold on, Karen. Hold on. All right. She's on hold. She's going to get Firehouse Subs. First two callers that want to go see Brian Kilmeade, we're going to get you on the guest list. First two callers, 277-9600. First two callers, you will be put on a guest list. You can see Brian Kilmeade this Friday at the Southwest Florida Event Center. He's great.
You know what I like by Boston?
What?
This one.
Okay. That's okay. We have to take a break. The lovely Karen is coming in studio. No,
you have to stop, stand, and remove your cap. You're not allowed to cut it off.
Callers 1 and 2, Brian Kilmeade. We'll be back.
You can't do that.
Don't do that to me. 96K Rock.
Remember years ago when we told you about that woman who made her own shrimp standing over a bucket? Well, it's all true. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock, Fluffer, your emails, but right now, it's a Wednesday tradition as the lovely Karen joins us in studio as we play Are You Smarter Than Haney? Hi, Karen.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, we're good. We're back from vacation.
Yes, welcome back.
And I want to thank you for the donut this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yes. Michael got them for me this morning.
Her husband came by with donuts.
Yeah, I think those were for her.
No, she came to the office.
Yeah,
office
so I just
has been
shared
busy
them.
Today. And she came by the office and had the box. At first, you know, you and I have been around. We thought it was some kind of setup. You want one of these donuts?
He was like, what's wrong with them?
What's wrong with the donuts? What do you mean? What are you going to, what's there going to be a camera on me or something?
Well, if she was offering.
Yeah, but and she did offer.
I would trust Karen.
And you know what? It was a very good donut.
It was amazing, yes.
But I still don't think that, you know, her husband went out of his way so you
I'm
could
sure,
have a donut.
But she
he
offered.
Said, give them to your coworkers. He gave me a dozen. I definitely was not going to eat a whole box of donuts. I mean, yeah, I could try.
I only had one.
Yes.
It was very good.
Has your husband ever told you no?
Yes.
Really?
He has. Yeah, it doesn't go over too well, but...
No.
There's something about that. A lady does not like being told no.
The worst thing a woman can hear are two letters, N-O.
I mean, I don't like it, but sometimes it's needed, sometimes.
Now, when it's needed...
Yes.
Is there a right way to go about it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as cliche as it sounds, communication. I mean, but yeah, I've been told no.
But then again, if a man doesn't just flat out say no... And then says, you know what, I'm just going to communicate, I'm going to reason and explain why I need to say no.
Exactly.
Well, then that's mansplaining.
Right.
Isn't it?
I mean, I just think that if I can say no and explain why, then he should be able to say
Here's
no, too.
Here's how I would handle it. So I'll play
but
the role.
You're not the norm. I'll play the role of
your
Stan has been telling me all day, I have to learn to be mean.
No,
you have to
I
learn
did not.
To be mean.
Look, I'm your husband. You're Karen.
You're not her. And you're not her husband.
I'm just playing the role. Now, you tell me that you want to do something, and I'm going to have to say something in return. Go ahead.
Okay, let's go to the theme park this weekend.
No.
Why?
Because I said no.
Yeah, no, that's not going to fly. No, that's not going to fly.
Now let's try it with me.
Okay.
Okay. Can we go to the theme park this weekend?
Oh, jeez.
That's a yes.
Jeez, I'd love to go to the theme park. Mm-hmm. Is there any way we could do it another day, though?
Yeah. So, like, plan ahead
and
save some money?
That day will never come.
Exactly.
6 categories.
Which way works better?
You know, it just depends.
No. Does the flat no work better?
No, because at the end of the day, like, we're still going to go. It just depends when
we
do it.
Because you won't accept no.
There's got to be a way to do this.
Six categories. One lucky Stan and Haney listener is going to go head-to-head with Mark Haney. You have Karen as a lifeline.
But see, her husband hasn't had bad experiences and been through decades.
We don't know
of
that.
All of it.
We hope not.
I don't believe so.
Okay. We've been through hell and back. Have you seen the old picture of me?
Oh, I did. I saw it. It looks so good. All of the, like, my entire news feed is just old people, and I just, I hope that I never actually look the way that it shows me that I'm going to, because it's pretty scary.
It frightened you?
Well, the thing is, I have a great skin routine, so there's no way that I'm going to look like that. There's no way.
You do. You got great skin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're beautiful.
Great skin.
I work hard on it.
But I think if we could somehow Photoshop.
It's.
If we could Photoshop.
That picture is priceless.
Like a Thomas Jefferson wig on him, we could have him as one of our founding fathers.
Yeah. It would work.
Oh, man. Everybody needs to go see that picture. It's great.
Six categories. Karen's your lifeline. If you defeat
and
Haney,
I love the expression on your face.
Yeah, well, I said, if I'm going to have that picture taken, look how an old man would feel.
Yes.
If you defeat Haney, you're going to get a pair of tickets to go see Korn with special guests Alice in Chains on Sunday, July 28th at Coral Sky. You'll get those tickets if you defeat Haney. You're also in the drawing for two front row seats to go see Korn in concert. Now, those tickets can be yours if you're smarter than Haney.
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you f***ing try it. Stan's got prizes yours for free if you prove you're smarter than me. It's not easy.
It's hard work.
Stan's trick question.
Nothing trick.
A f***ing jerk. All those prizes yours for free. Matching wits with Mark Haney. You're a contestant. Stan's the host.
Hi, everybody.
I'm the one who knows the f***ing most. If you dare to disagree, simply prove you're smarter than me. I'm a genius.
You're a slob.
I must beat you. That's my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me, I politely disagree.
277-9600. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this. Incorrectly. Taking too long. Lose. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days from K-Rock. You defeat Haney, you get the Korn tickets. Karen.
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. We're going to get a random Stan and Haney listener. That does not necessarily mean the first person that we talk to. You may have a bad phone connection. You may be blunted. We'll move to another one.
Can't wait for the rally tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's the trip rally. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan, it's Ryan. How are you?
Good, Ryan. Have you won anything from us in the last 30 days?
No,
sir. I'm sorry, it's 60 days now.
No, sir. Last time I seen you was at the golf outing.
Okay, Ryan, and say hi to Karen.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
Good, Ryan. Good luck today.
Thank you.
She is your lifeline. If there's a category that you cannot answer before I ask the question, you say, I'd like to use my lifeline. You can use Karen once for one of your categories, okay?
All right.
All right, here they go. The categories are geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, and sports and leisure. You all right? Want to clear your throat again, Ryan, before we get started?
No, sir, let's go.
All right, we begin with Mark Haney. Now, remember, if Haney cannot answer his question, you have the category open. You can steal as well, but that goes for both of you. Mark Haney, category.
Geography.
Geography for Mark Haney.
I just saw a concerning headline, Stan.
What?
It says, face app security concerns. Russians now own all your old photos.
I told you that. I told you that at the start.
They own all your stuff.
Haney, who was king of Spain
at the start of the 21st century. At the start of the 21st century.
Juan Carlos?
Yes, sir. And Haney is on the board. Ryan, category.
Let's do the same one.
All right. Ryan with geography.
Now, does Ryan understand he's not going to get the exact same question that I successfully answered?
That is correct.
Because he wanted the same question, I think.
Same category. Not the same question, Ryan.
I understand. Let's go.
All right. All right. He's like, I got this.
Let's see. All right. In geography, Ryan, what defensive item is pictured in front of two spears on the flag of Kenya? What defensive item is pictured in front of two spears on the flag of Kenya?
A shield?
You are correct. It is a shield. Both of you on the board. Both of you have Karen as a lifeline.
I think mine was far more impressive.
Yeah, well, okay. All right. We'll see as it goes on. Haney, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Entertainment.
Entertainment for Mark Haney.
Figured I'd throw a monkey wrench into everything,
there
Karen.
There you go, yeah. Haney, in entertainment, which of the Rolling Stones was expelled from a Dartford Technical College for truancy?
Charlie Watts?
Incorrect. You can steal, Ryan.
I just don't see the rest of them going to a technical college.
Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, you are correct.
Good job,
in entertainment.
Ryan.
How did he get in a technical college?
I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't mean the same thing in England.
You have control as well, Ryan, on that steal. Pick a category: history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
Let's go sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure for Ryan. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Here you go, Ryan. What pro sport did Althea Gibson play when her tennis career ended? One of the great tennis players of all time, Althea Gibson, retired and picked up what sport?
Mm-hmm.
3 seconds.
Pole vaulting?
That is incorrect. Mm-hmm. Haney, you can steal now in sports and leisure. What sport did Althea Gibson play after her tennis career?
Does track and field count as a sport?
Yeah, but he said pole vaulting, so I would have given him track and field.
Okay. Basketball.
Incorrect. Mm-hmm. Golf. Golf.
Was she any good?
I don't think so. Not like Babe Dietrichson. Haney, you have control. Entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
History.
History for Mark Haney. Haney, what year did the red maple leaf design officially become Canada's flag?
This is not a multiple choice.
No, it's one straight up year.
That's ridiculous.
I know, but that's the way they have it.
You know, my odds of that are
astronomical.
1754.
Incorrect. You can steal.
Hey,
Ryan.
I was game.
Yeah, that's a lot of years.
I will say.
Is this like something we're supposed to know?
Yeah.
I'll explain. Go ahead.
1851?
Incorrect. Mm. The Canadian flag for, well, when we were even kids, Haney, had part of the British flag in it because it was a British-controlled territory. They didn't get their maple leaf until 1965. the maple leaf on their flag.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Ryan.
I thought it was just there.
History.
Yes, sir.
Arts and literature. Science and nature. Sports and leisure.
Science and nature.
Science and nature. All right, let's go to science and nature for Ryan. Oh, okay, this is interesting. What is the five-letter name for a young dog? What is the five-letter name for a young dog?
A whelp.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. Did you know that one, Haney?
I was going to say puppy.
Yeah. Haney, you have control. Entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
History.
History for Mark Haney. Haney, what famous construction did newspaper editor Joseph Pulitzer shame citizens into financing? And I want you to think about this because it makes complete sense. And we've spoken about it before.
It's not ringing any bells.
What famous construction had to build something did newspaper editor Joseph Pulitzer shame citizens into financing?
Statue of Liberty.
More specific.
How can I be more specific?
Statue of Liberty came from France.
Yeah, but you had to build it.
I'm gonna.
How can I not get it? He wanted to finance getting it put together and built. What are you talking about?
We're going to go to another Mark Haney question, because I don't...
I know the answer.
You know... All right. That's incorrect.
No.
And Ryan, your answer, that's fair. What?
The pedestal for the...
Yes. Yes. We had the statue. Oh, we had it all over here. They were going around showing it off, but nobody wanted to pay for the pedestal. I used to joke whenever they talked about the Statue of Liberty that they gave us something that we couldn't use because we had to build the pedestal.
Oh, man.
I don't like not getting credit for that.
Yes, Ryan.
Didn't they send the parts on tour to finance it?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, well, you heard that from us.
Ryan, you have...
You hear him laughing?
Yeah, it's true. And see, you learned something here, Ryan. Ryan, you still have your lifeline. Arts and literature. Sports and leisure.
That was pretty petty, Stan.
I'll let Karen pick.
Karen, it's arts and literature or sports and leisure?
Let's do arts and literature.
Arts and literature.
It's not
literature.
Like I said, the effing Liberty Bell.
No. Again, it's not built. The Statue of Liberty, they gave it to us. We had the whole big problem.
I said
was
you had to build it. You had to erect it.
The pedestal, not the statue itself.
But that's what he was raising money for.
He was raising money for
so that the Statue of Liberty could be displayed.
Pedestal.
Yeah, and it could be displayed.
And he got it right. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Well, I've had about enough today.
Arts, and this is in the arts and literature, because
yes,
it's a musical instrument, Karen. What P word means an electric guitar's transducers? What P word?
It just sounds bad.
I know.
P word.
What P word means an electric guitar's transducers? This is for Ryan. It's a P word. It starts with a P.
The P word.
Yep. And if you miss it, Haney has a chance to steal. This is for Ryan. What P word means an electric guitar's transducers?
The programmer.
Incorrect. Haney, you can steal in arts and literature.
Pickups.
The pickups.
Oh, gosh.
You are correct.
It's all right. You didn't need to know that.
No, I had no idea.
And you have
control. Sorry, Ryan.
That's all right.
You have control.
Although I did know it.
You did, yeah, well. Entertainment history.
Well, it's not fair. He listens to this show.
And yes. Learns.
Very smart.
Entertainment history, science and nature, sports and leisure, Mark Haney. And you have Karen as a lifeline.
What was that last one in?
Sports and leisure.
Do I still
have... No, he got science and arts and literature. You got arts. You stole arts and literature.
So that's no longer available. So what's left?
Sports and leisure, science and nature, history, and entertainment.
Go ahead, Karen.
Ooh, let's do entertainment. Let's see if we can get it for you.
Entertainment for Mark Haney.
Go, shawty. Go, shawty. Go, shawty.
I got this.
Karen.
Yes.
For Haney, what singing, dancing Scientologist played Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, you're not the only one, Ryan. Calm down.
Entertainment. What singing, dancing Scientologist played Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction?
My husband's going to kill me for this.
The only thing that is going to save Haney on this one is that Ryan already has the category.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name.
You're not... No answer. No answer.
No, I can't remember his name.
You can picture him, can't you?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Go ahead, Haney. You're not going to get it, but tell her the answer.
Would it help if I gave you a hint?
Probably not. I probably can't remember his name.
Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter.
I can't remember his name.
You remember him with Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction? I just want you to acknowledge a damn miracle.
Yes, I just don't
John
know his name.
Travolta.
Yes.
John
oh,
Travolta.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Ryan, you're on your own with arts and literature or sports and leisure?
Arts and literature.
Arts and literature.
Which I cannot steal because I already did.
Yeah. Let's see. La, da, da. Ryan, what museum was first opened to the public during the French Revolution?
The Louvre.
You are absolutely correct. In arts and literature, you are at match point. Haney has control. Haney, entertainment.
History
for Mark Haney. I think I predicted this before the...
You did.
I did. In history, Mark Haney. Haney, which U.S. robbers had the surnames Parker and Barrow?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Correct. In history. All right, Ryan, here you go.
Oh,
here's
man.
Here's the deal. And it doesn't happen very often.
It does not.
I can count a fistful of times in probably the last year that Haney was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
You have that opportunity right now in sports and leisure. You get it right, you win.
Let's hear it.
All right. What is the name given to a ball on a wire that is thrown in an Olympic event? What is...
A tether.
That is incorrect. It is the hammer. It is the hammer. The game continues. We have about 1 minute remaining.
Was I not allowed to steal?
Oh, you were.
Oh.
Let me give you an... I'm sorry. You were absolutely correct. My bad on that. I will give you, Haney, a sports and leisure question. Because you were absolutely correct. You were allowed to steal. My bad on that. Would you have gotten that by the
way? No.
Okay. But you're
but it's
but
it's still. Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
You've got to work within the rules.
Mm-hmm. It's the rules of the game.
Haney, which of the following baseball players received a phone call from Beaver Cleaver on an episode of Leave It to Beaver? Real-life baseball player in the show. Don Drysdale, Babe Ruth, or Hank Aaron?
Drysdale.
You are correct in Sports and Leisure. And you have control. Mm-hmm. Entertainment, science, and nature.
Science.
Science!
Science!
Look, it just face facts. You could have won the game there, Ryan.
Yeah, I know. I'm not happy with myself, trust
you. Shouldn't
he's aware,
be.
He's aware.
Haney, in Science and Nature, what is at an average distance of 238,857 miles from Earth?
You are admitting it's an average.
Average, because it changes from time to time, but on average.
That would be the moon.
You are correct, the moon.
On average.
On average. You know.
All right, Haney's at match point, but he does not have control.
What a game.
I am not stopping this game. Ryan, you are at match point in Sports and Leisure again.
All right, Ryan.
You miss it. Haney has control, and he can win the game. So Sports and Leisure again for you, Ryan, to outright win the game.
All right, let's go.
This would be in the leisure category of Sports and Leisure. What decade saw the first U.S. postage stamp? Hold on. What decade saw the first U.S. postage stamp issued? What decade?
Hang on. 1840s.
How did you know that? Are you cheering? You can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just happen to know stuff.
Uh-huh. And you got... How did you know that?
Because one of my friends was a postage stamp collector when I was a boy.
Okay. All right. How many show of hands, Rob, Karen, Haney, how many of us believe that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, Haney believes it.
Yep.
Congratulations, Ryan. You've got a pair of tickets to go see Korn.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. Hold on. I smell something in the air. Karen, thank you.
Of course.
We'll be back.
That's
Stan
all right.
Haney.
Rattle off a quick two. I don't feel bad with 4 out of 5.
96 K-Rock.
All women are crazy. Except you, darling. That's right. Just you. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'll tell you. Lot of people calling BS. Something ain't right with that Ryan victory. And I don't want to get into the details of it. First of all, I don't know how I pulled that out of a 900-page book. Now, I don't want to get into any details about it, but...
He was good.
Really?
What's the...
Rob? Did you sense getting his information something fishy? I saw you and Mangus going around throwing your hands up.
Why would
up.
You cheat at something
I
like
don't
that?
Know.
He's only got to get 2 for the tickets.
Did you sense something?
I've met Ryan before. He seems like an upstanding guy. He also doesn't look like the kind of guy that would know all of that information.
Aha! Aha! You know what? But good for him. Is he a guy that would like the show?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Let's see the.
Okay. All right.
And I'm not accusing anybody of this because I don't think it happened. Okay.
I am.
But if your goal was to get the tickets, it draws a lot less attention if you only get 2 right.
Yeah.
That's the minimum.
Yep.
When you're getting every question.
And something as obscure as that?
That draws scrutiny,
yep,
which you don't want if you're a scammer.
Yep. Got an eye on you now. Yeah. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Congratulate him and move on.
Okay. Congratulations, Ryan. Now, K-Rock traffic. This is coming from a road watcher. Two separate accidents about 50 yards away from each other, westbound I-75 and Immokalee Road, just to let you know. Road watcher. Now we got a couple in Lehigh Acres. We have a crash, Leland Heights Boulevard West and Homestead Road North, and a disabled vehicle in Lehigh Acres, Dixie Avenue and West 11th Street. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. What's coming up? He's about to tell you because he's got today's headlines for you.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Right.
Today is July 17th.
Yep.
Is there any particular holiday that comes to mind?
No, we're
on July
17th. July is over with. I think there's one big holiday a month, with the exception of maybe 1 month. I don't know why. What's today?
Well, it's July 17th. And you know what that means.
What?
Halloween time.
No, it doesn't.
Well, someone should tell Target that.
Oh, they're already starting.
A drug smuggler is busted hiding cocaine under his ridiculously high toupee.
I saw the pictures.
49-year-old man is arrested for assaulting someone with bagel bites.
All right.
And finally, you know, Stan, you taught me this, and I am still in search of mine, but you are of the opinion that everyone has their kink.
Yep.
And it may not even be sexual.
True.
But you get too obsessed with something,
yeah,
it can take you down the effing rabbit hole.
Sure can.
And that is what happened to 66-year-old Jerry Foxhoven.
What about Jer?
Jerry had a long and distinguished career with, he was the Department of Human Services Director for the state of Iowa.
Okay.
But apparently, Jerry was so obsessed with Tupac.
Yeah.
They had to let him go. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. yeah. We try to bring it to you each and every day with the 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Disneyland turns 64 today.
Oh, yeah.
And from what we've heard, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
They wanted to reduce overcrowding, and so nobody's there now. Good job. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
tips for having a great time at Disneyland.
Top tips for having a great time at Disneyland.
Don't bring your kids. For a good laugh, point to your husband's junk while writing, "It's a Small World." If you plan on eating a meal at the park,
yeah,
always a good idea to take a second mortgage out on your home. Remember that?
What?
You'd have to stand in line for a couple of hours, and then you sit down with like a thimble of food and go, and that cost me how much?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of people know this, and you do have to play your cards right. But if you're cool about it, the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland will totally give you some molly.
Laugh it up.
When boarding a ride, if at all possible, squeeze between fatties in case of another aftershock. Take tons of selfies and send them all to your friends who could only afford Six Flags. Get in the Disney spirit. Join Donald Duck and strip off your pants.
Yeah.
Don't do a Biden and smell Snow White's hair without her permission. Offset the ticket cost by stealing strollers. And finally, the very top tip for having a great time at Disneyland.
Yes.
If at all possible, refrain from telling Princess Jasmine to go back where she came from. And that, my friend, is for...
Elvis, left the building.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
Did you see that following Trump's comments, what happened with the opinion polls?
Let he go up?
Yeah.
All right, good man.
Went up a solid 5 points among Republicans.
Awesome. This is from our friend Meg. She writes, "Ahoy, Stan and Haney. Welcome back from a much-needed vacation. I wasn't sure if you guys caught this. In the Rose Garden, a reporter from the Cartoon News Network had the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to tell Sebastian Gorka to have a conversation outside."
Oh, Gorka destroyed him.
Yeah. "I think Gorka should have pressed charges for inciting violence, but that's just me. And by the way, I think we should call that Democratic squad the Monster Squad." Signed, Meg.
You're absolutely correct, Meg. Stand by our president.
Yep.
Stand by our flag.
This is from Robert. And I looked into this, and you're right, Robert. "I was just wondering, you guys seem to know everyone in radio broadcasting."
Huh?
"There was a part of a radio team, one of the few radio teams that have been together as long as you have, where one of the hosts passed away. His name was John Walton, and he will be missed. Signed, Professor Robert." I looked into this. Longtime radio team in Houston. Two of these guys started working together in 1983 at the same station for the entire time. There they are right there. The guy on the left is John Walton. They were together forever. He had some health issues.
And they found him alone in his recliner,
and
didn't they?
Well, he passed away, but a lot like you and I. They show pretty much about whatever they want, music stuff, political stuff, leaning to the right a little bit, funny stuff, talking about nothing. And they were huge successes since 1983. And he passed away. And whenever one of our radio friends passed away, I'm glad you let us know.
God bless him.
John Walton. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
I hope he is on a little better behavior today.
Let's see what we're dealing with here.
Because yesterday, he had the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to criticize our president.
Yeah, and wanted to know personal information about me. Hold on a second. Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, sorry if my question seemed to bother you. I was just asking, just wondering if the link was gone. Oh, we're working on the link, by the way. The Amazon link on our website. And I didn't think asking your girlfriend's name was a bad thing. You're right.
It's not for you, Guardian, but if he is on the air, he's not just talking to you.
Well, I talked to my girlfriend about that.
And you
she,
did?
She heard the Guardian's letter.
And so what does Trixie think? Does she want everybody to know her name?
She said after the wedding, he's more than welcome to know my name. That would be Mrs. Stanley Nawalonic.
Oh, I love her. Oh, I love her even more.
Yeah, yeah, she said.
Where did she come from?
I don't know.
She said, she is perfect in every way.
She said, feel free to let him know my full name.
Mrs. Stanley E. Nawalonic.
That's what she said.
The third.
let's see. So from now on, what should I just refer to her as the Mrs.? No, I just told you. That's what she prefers.
Mrs. Stanley Nawalonic. That's the short version.
Let's see.
Does he ever apologize for criticizing the president?
I do not blame you for wanting to protect your privacy. Why is it that the left only wants to keep trying to get rid of Trump rather than deal with the real issues?
Because what else are they going to do?
I think they are assuring a Trump victory if they keep this up. That's great. Keep
I want
talking,
a landslide.
You morons.
Landslide.
Now, I'm sure you've heard about Area 51 and how a million people are going to invade the facility.
And they have very detailed plans with the Naruto running and the whole thing.
They won't be successful. Good luck with that idea. One person lets a fart go, they will know who did it and where they are. What a stupid idea. So yesterday, there was a gentleman who emailed and chastised Haney for blowing the U.S. soccer team. He hasn't said anything about apologizing about the Trump thing. 15-year-old girl. Okay, that's about the soccer and the Scissor Sisters and the Nazi salute. They're disgusting bitches, yes.
So with that's something we can all agree
yes.
on.
Yes. So with all the crap going on, what business does the Congress have taking 6 weeks off for their summer break? I think that's just ridiculous. You guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
Jesus.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
You know, radio is a crazy business, and 96 K-Rock is no exception. You see, while others routinely come and go, we stubbornly remain, which begs the perfectly logical question. Stan and Haney, smart or dumb? Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciated. Going to get you updated on traffic, and then I'm going to tell you about South Street Happy Hour happening this and every Friday. Details on that coming up. Let's get you updated.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right. One thing on the board. It's been there for the last hour. So if it might be hopefully in the clearing stages, a crash. Lehigh Acres, Leland Heights Boulevard West, and Homestead Road. That's the last report that we have. to give you. So hopefully that is cleared up and you are up to date. Join 96K Rock and Matt Mangus this and every Friday for Happy Hour at South Street City Oven and Grill. That's at Goodlett Frank Road and Pine Ridge Road in the Goodlett Corners Shopping Center in Naples. Matt's going to be there on Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Happy Hour drink and food specials, K-Rock prizes, and you can also sign up to win tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. That's the old Happy Hour at South Street with Matt Mangus. This and every Friday. Again, that's 4 to 6 p.m. with 96K Rock. I'm sure you can look online as well, 96krock.com. Ahoy.
Hey, bud.
Oh, jeez. where you been, pal? That's our old buddy from North Fort Myers. What's going on there?
Where have I been? Where have you been? You ain't answered your goddamn phone in like 2 or 3 weeks.
We've been on vacation, you idiot.
Yeah, it must be nice.
What do you mean it must be nice? We took a vacation. We played best of shows. We're back now, and guess what? I answered the phone.
Well, it ain't too bad then, I reckon.
All right. What's going on there, Bubba?
Hey, looky here.
Yeah, looky here.
Reason I'm calling,
yes, sir.
I wanted to thank you for playing that Tom Petty song.
Well, you're welcome. We play a lot of Tom Petty here on the radio show and the station. You should know that. Aren't you a regular listener to the K-Rock?
Well, I know you play Tom Petty. We all appreciate that.
That's good.
But that particular Tom Petty song means a lot to me.
Why is that?
Well, do you know what that song's about?
Why don't you tell me? You don't know how it feels to be me.
Yeah. Let's roll another joint and get to the point. You don't know how it feels
to be me. Okay, what?
Don't know how it feels.
Sir.
You don't know how it feels.
Sir. Please.
To be me.
Are you sure that we've met before?
All the time, you stupid son of a bitch. You slap happy mother.
Hey. You've been calling.
You've got the nerve to ask me if I even know who you are.
Look, you've been calling.
I've heard of you.
Okay. And so this.
Yeah.
So after you've
got
a few drinks.
Yeah, I know who you are.
Okay, what can I do for you? I'm glad you liked the Tom Petty song. We were on vacation the past.
What do you think that song's about?
I don't give it much thought, okay? I'm in the middle of doing stuff. When the song is playing, I'm working around and doing stuff.
You telling me that Tom G.D. Petty
will you lay
sat
out?
Down with Michael Campbell,
yes,
and Benmont Tench.
Yeah.
And took pen to paper,
yeah,
for something that was so important that it needed to be immortalized, and you know, you don't pay much attention.
Look, what's going on in your life? You still doing karaoke?
You don't you try and distract me.
We're distracting
talking about
you.
Tom Petty right now.
You know, what are you doing? Sitting outside on a stoop somewhere with a transistor radio and a cell phone?
I asked you a simple GD question. You know what that song's about?
Why don't you tell me what it's about?
Because you don't know?
All right, I don't know. What's it about?
Exactly, you don't know. You don't know.
Why are you coming at me?
How it feels.
I just said that. To be me.
To be me.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Do I? I don't know how it feels to be you either. You don't know how it feels to be me
either.
So what point are you trying to make, sir?
Well, one day I was minding my own business.
Yeah.
I've been working on a couple of bikes with my buddies.
Where do you work on bikes at? I thought you do karaoke and you work at a strip bar.
This is 40 years ago, you dumbass. Okay.
So 40 years ago, you're working on some bikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, you know, yeah.
Why does this affect me?
Yes, we was having a couple of beers.
Uh-huh. Like,
okay,
like
there's
you are
nothing
now.
Wrong with that.
Okay, like
there's
you
are nothing
now.
Wrong with it.
Okay, it got you on probation and a suspended license.
And then we was closing up the garage, and the guy says, "Hey, you want to go out to a titty bar?" Okay. I said, "No, I got to go home to my wife and my son." And I did the right thing, so I got my pickup truck and I went home.
You never told me you had a son.
This is 40 years ago.
What, is your son dead?
Probably not.
So you're not in touch with your son, and you have an ex-wife, or have you legally divorced or not?
Well, looky here.
Looky here.
So
that's not,
remember,
even, a, that's
I
not
was,
even a word, looky.
I was working on a bike.
Yeah, 40 years
then,
ago.
And then I had a perfectly valid offer to go out and tear up a town, and I said, no, I got to get home, my wife, my kid.
Right.
I walk into my own house, and what greets me?
What?
Dead body.
What?
Yeah.
A dead body? Whose dead body was in there?
Well, that's a long story. It goes back to these people that was living down south from us that claimed to be relatives of mine. I thought they were relatives of mine at the time. It turns out they weren't.
But what are they doing in your house with your wife and kid?
Because they was in a bad situation. They had bad neighbors that was involved in bad stuff. And I said, well, why don't you just move up this way? And that was the biggest mistake I ever made, because this one so-called relative was a dead body on the floor. And he and I had added multiple altercations. Okay? But my wife had made the rule that he is not to step foot in our house. And so there's a dead body. There's nobody else around. And so I thought, man, what if I walked into it? What's a sensible thing to do? And so I got a sleeping bag, and I wrapped him up in that, and I threw him in the back of the pickup truck. And then my wife come pulling in, and she starts calling me stupid, asked what I'm doing. And I said, well, why don't you tell me what the hell happened here? She goes, well, what do you think happened here? And I said, well, there's a dead body on the floor. She goes, well, that's a great job by you, Einstein. And so then she says, well, get in the damn truck, dumbass.
What's going on here?
Well, we start driving around. I'm looking for a place to dump the body.
You can't do that.
But I don't want it to be too far away from the road so somebody could find it quick, because I didn't like the man, but he deserved the burial.
Wait a second. You're telling me right now that 40 years ago, you dumped a dead body that was found in your house and you haven't told anybody for 40 years?
Well, look here, sort of.
What?
And so I found a place where it's still on the road, and I found a sign, and I set him up like he was sitting there, and I was about to leave, and then it occurred to me what I ought to do is to get his identification. And I got a piece of paper and wrote out, in case of emergency, to call me. See?
So somebody came up to the body, up against the post, in the middle of nowhere, it would have had a note to call you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so I figured that way they think it never could have been him, because he's a couple miles away. Couldn't have been him. And
Did your wife kill him?
Well, as it turns out, probably.
Admitting right now, 40 years after the fact, that you suspect your wife of killing somebody and you moving the body.
Yeah.
And this means nothing to you.
Well, we went back home, and she continued to harass me and belittle me and emasculate me.
Yeah, a lot of ridicule.
I, I said, you know what? F you. I went out and got myself another six-pack, finished that, and went to bed. So then it took them a good 48 hours, and they called up. I'm answering the phone to police because I think they found a note, and they said, do you know so-and-so? I said, yes, I know so-and-so. I just haven't seen him for a while.
But you're lying.
Yeah. Well, of course I am. And then they start putting two together, and it turns out then they come and they don't pick me up, but they pick my wife up because she was in cahoots with this guy's girlfriend, and they got caught kiting his checks before his body was cold. And then they got him on not counterfeiting, but something with a forged instrument or something. And so then
forgery,
you know. Yeah, so I got a little boy, and I don't know how to take care of a kid. And then she got a public defender, and then he come to me and he said, "You know what? If we can put this on you, then you can go away. But then she'd be able to take care of your kid and all this."
So you wanted? They asked you to take the rap for a murder 40 years ago, so that your wife and his girlfriend could go with your son, and you'd be doing the crime for the murder they committed.
Yeah, because they were saying the cause of death was strangulation.
Strangulation.
And then the cop asked me, you know, you had altercations with this guy. I said, well, yes, sir. I've had many altercations with. And they said, have you ever choked this man? I said, I just choked him out. I just put a sleeper hold on him. I didn't hurt him. It was just to disable him. And so anyway, I'm up there in Folsom, and then all the lawyers got involved, and everybody going back on their plea deals and whatnot, and they say, well, we can't keep you because it turns out the cause of death was poison. That bitch had cyanide in his ass. And I said, well, whatever, because I'm about to end up in San Quentin because this shot caller over here has got a number on me. And then I went in the smoker, and this dumb bitch, he had to be probably 6'6", 300-something pounds, and I just, all I did is I punched him in the throat. I took his knees out from under him. I said, are we done here? I think so.
Wait a sec. So you never, did you serve any time?
Oh, yeah.
But then they found out he was poisoned.
Yeah, but I was in Folsom, but I was about to go to San Quentin because the shot caller was always after me. And because, see, it's a long story. You got your Mexican mafia, you got your bikers, and then you got your Aryan Nation.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And you got the German side of that, you got the Irish side of that, and then you got the blacks. And I never did have a problem with the blacks. See,
did they? Let me ask. Let me just wrap this up. So you haven't seen your son in 40 years?
No. He was in the wind after that, and somebody thought it was a good idea. That he probably ought to be kept away from both of us.
And your wife and the friend of the guy dead on the floor, the girlfriend, have gotten away with murder.
Yeah, and come to find out, they were scissoring.
Why can you just say this? I gotta go. Can you tell me, you've called this show probably in the last 4 or 5 years about 200 times,
and the guy's name was Leslie Johnson that put the hit out on
Why are you telling me all this now on live radio?
Why am I telling you all
this?
Well, if you listen to me to begin with, you'd know it's because you don't know how it feels to be me.
We'll be back.
You know, radio is a crazy business, and 96 K-Rock is no exception. You see, while others routinely come and go, we stubbornly remain, which begs the perfectly logical question, Stan and Haney. Smart or dumb? Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us.
We'll get you updated on traffic here in just a second. Mark Haney in the news. Rob Show. Going to be taking over at 6 o'clock. Absolute Law text line. This is very nice. Stan and Haney, can I give a shout out to my son? He made tech sergeant in the Air Force on Monday. He still has 3 years left in Japan. He tries to listen to your show when he has the time. I just want to congratulate him. Congratulations, Shane. Love, Dad. That's fantastic. And thank you, Shane, for serving our country. That's some good stuff there. And I hope it gets to him in Japan. And if he's listening in Japan, tell us where and we'll give him a stick pin.
Konnichiwa.
Yeah. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. It's wet out there.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, one thing on the board right now, and it is a crash. Fort Myers, South Point Boulevard, and College Parkway. And you are up to date.
Can't wait for the rally tonight.
Yeah, big rally. Trump rally. Where is he going to be?
North Carolina, Greenville. Home of the Greenville Gals ice hockey team.
North Carolina, but was very good to him back in 16.
Do you remember that night?
Yes, I do.
No path to victory.
Yeah.
No path.
I remember.
No path, they said.
Oh, by the way, charges against Kevin Spacey dropped. That's just a charge, but everybody knows that. Never mind.
You know what? There is so much swirling around right now.
I know it.
A lot of highly placed people a little bit nervous.
Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is a news report. The American people want to know the important issues and events of our day. What makes them important and why? And that such knowledge can come only from an objective presentation of facts. We all need to understand the world in which we live.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, July 17th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know.
All right. Always a segment of the news that I enjoy because I like learning something every day.
Now, this one's a whopper.
What?
And I've not heard this one before. We all remember Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
You need a quick refresher?
Axel Foley.
Yeah, it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
And he was a cop in Detroit that went out to Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of those too when the movie was out, the Mumford t-shirt.
Mumford Fizette.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop was not meant to be a comedy.
What are you talking about? It was a laugh-a-minute riot.
Beverly Hills Cop was originally put together, script written, all of this done, to be a straight action film starring Sylvester Stallone.
Hey.
And there wouldn't have been any Axel Foley. There would have been, I'm Axel Cobretti.
Ah.
Cobretti, like the snake. I'm Axel Cobretti.
Cobretti.
Ah!
Didn't he do a movie called Cobra?
Yeah. Yeah. Sylvester Stallone pulled out 2 weeks before filming started, and the studio rewrote the movie to make it work as a comedy with Eddie Murphy. They really do view them as commodities.
Yeah.
They don't really see the artistic or talent side. They just, well, we got this cop movie Stallone pulled out. What are we going to do? What if, instead of being a Sylvester Stallone action movie, we make it into a comedy with this Eddie Murphy? He's very, very hot right now.
Now you're talking.
All right, give me some joke writers. We need some gags.
It's gold. Gold, I'm telling you, it's gold.
Okay, now it's one of those weird geological things where you look at a map and things don't seem right.
All right.
And no, I am not willing to die on this hill because I'm sure I'm going to get attacked. They're telling me this,
You're going to get a lot of, not necessarily.
And that could be true. I'm just telling you what they're telling me. Bristol, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Is closer to Canada than it is to Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, come on. That's crazy talk. You got Memphis, Tennessee. It's in the south, son.
Bristol is in the northeast corner of the state.
Still the south.
Which puts it 400 miles from the Canadian border. However, it is 500 miles from Memphis in the southwest corner of the state.
Not necessarily. Don't even. Yeah, like Haney said, he ain't going to die on that hill.
Yeah, I can't see the map well enough. But, you know, we don't really have a good concept of Canada, especially living in Florida. But when you look at a map of the Northeast, it's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. You go to Niagara Falls in New York, you go the other side of it, you're in Canada.
And, you know, we think about the world ending at the border of Maine.
It does not. Keeps going up there into Canada.
Today is July 17th.
Yes.
That tells this reporter that we're smack dab in the middle of summer.
Yeah. This is prime. You know, you're talking about all the, like, the towns up in the Northeast right now, like where I grew up in Wachill, Rhode Island, or the Jersey Shore, or your Myrtle Beaches in the Carolinas. This, right now, it's from Memorial Day to Labor Day. This is where the action is.
So you'll pardon me if Halloween is the last thing on my mind.
Halloween?
I guess according to Target, that's what we should be thinking about.
Pumpkins?
Yep. You can already get your Halloween stuff from Target, and it's not just last year's stuff sitting around in a warehouse. A lot of it is new stuff for Halloween 2019. Listed with a release date of August 22nd, but you can get it now.
Wow! Oh, pardon.
Target is not the only one in Halloween mode. Yesterday, a website, HalloweenCostumes.com, they released some big Halloween survey. And I guess that means next week we'll be looking at Christmas and Valentine's.
Yeah, well, no Thanksgiving.
No, one of two things is going to happen. They either need to calm the F down, which that would be my main option.
Right.
Or we're going to have to create more holidays where themed junk can be sold.
Yeah, add a few more.
Yeah, it's mainly what they need is holidays where people will buy napkins, paper plates, and disposable cups with that holiday printed on them.
See, but I would think with, like, Labor Day coming up,
people have that final picnic of the year. They got to sell the
I thought we weren't allowed to say picnic anymore.
We discovered it's fine. And you know what? These lefties haven't gotten to that yet. They haven't found that one yet.
They will.
Oh yeah. Well, it was what's his name that told us that?
Was it Dick Gregory?
Dick Gregory. Hold on. Just give me a second here.
This is a built-in hold. It is a part of the countdown. This does not mean that there's anything wrong with this mission. Everything performing nominally. This is simply a built-in hold here in our countdown.
About 20 years ago, we had Dick Gregory on.
And my jaw hit the floor.
A lot of people today don't know who Dick Gregory is. He was, in the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s, a comedian, but then he also got involved heavily into civil rights and wrote many books. And we had him on, good friend of John Lennon, during that whole time in the early 70s when they were trying to get him kicked out of the country, and he was always going around, palling around with him. Well, we had Dick Gregory on, and he talked about the word picnic. And I'm not joking. Here he is from about 20 years ago on our show.
You know, if you look at a whole lots of words, you know, I didn't know the word gypsy was a derogatory word about, you know, you gypped me, you welched on the deal, you Jewed me out of, and I didn't know, you know, that those words are negative words. So it's interesting when you stop and look at a lot of words that we hadn't looked at before. You know, nowhere in the world do they use the word picnic except in America. You aware of that? They say outing. Because the word picnic come out of slavery, it was pick a... Now, black folks is not even aware of that.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. Yeah, it's pick a... listen, if you was a rich, rich, rich white massa,
right,
you going to take your lady 40 miles down the road to the waterfall, you going to put the horse and buggy together, you going to go there and make the fire, you going to cook them ribs, give me a break. You gonna go out there and pick one of your slaves.
Yeah, and that's where it comes from.
That's where that word comes from.
Had no idea.
See, now you know why you got beat up at the park the other day.
Yeah, now I know why.
Yeah, they just haven't gotten to it yet. And back in the day, he was allowed to say that on the air.
Oh, I've listened to some of our old tapes. Nothing is allowed anymore. It's not permitted.
To re-air that by the man that said it himself, who was an African-American man trying to make a point, we had to edit it. Not when it originally aired, but when I wanted to go and play the clip.
Yeah, there are... forces aligned against us.
It's just, I don't get it.
Because things that were fine years ago are not fine now.
No.
And what is the reason for that? The reason that they used to impose massive censorship? Janet Jackson's nipple.
Yep, that started it all.
And after that happened, we didn't know it was going to happen. We knew that it was a big deal. Everybody was talking about it after that Super Bowl performance. But all of a sudden, and this rarely happens to us, believe it or not, thank God. But all of us, not just me and Stan, everybody that worked in radio, we were all hauled into offices and said, whatever it is that you do, don't ever do it again.
And here's the thing. That was television. Television skated through that. Radio did not. It changed everybody from Howard Stern all the way down the pipeline to Stan and Haney.
Yeah, it wasn't just Stan and Haney. Stern got called into an office. And shortly thereafter, he said, well, F radio, I'll sign a multi-million dollar contract. Why doesn't that happen to us?
Because, as I said, we're way down the pipeline.
And so it's not for us.
No, not meant to be.
No. Well, it's too late now.
Yeah.
in a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
We are asked often if the Diamond District is a retail or wholesale jewelry store. Well, we're both.
We're wholesale diamond brokers selling to the public, and the Diamond District sells to jewelry stores around the country. We have the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find on the internet.
On the retail side, you can visit the Diamond District every day. We have a beautiful showroom where you can relax, work with an educated team of professionals, including two GIA graduate gemologists, and view the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, along with the largest selection of diamond fashion jewelry in Southwest Florida.
The Diamond District selection includes over 3,000 engagement rings from world-renowned designers, including Tacori, Verragio, and many more. With the selection, wholesale pricing, and comfortable environment, you simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, now I know Stan will back me up on this one. There are few things that make people turn heads and stare like a bad hairpiece.
Oh. I can spot them a mile away.
And when you are a criminal, the last thing you want is people stopping, turning their heads to stare at you. A man was arrested last month on a flight from Bogota, Colombia to Barcelona, Spain. Why?
Why?
Police were suspicious of the man because of his ridiculously high toupee.
I saw the pictures. It's absolutely ridiculous. Look at him.
Oh, come on. How about a little effort here, pal? Just a little effort.
Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous. I mean, why not just carry it openly? It would be...
Yeah, no kidding.
When they searched him, they learned why his hair was riding ridiculously high on his head. He had glued a bag of cocaine to his bald head and thrown a wig over it. There was about a little more than $33,000 worth of cocaine under that tube, and he was arrested on smuggling charges. That's just no effort at all.
None.
You know what? You see somebody like that, they give them all a bad name. The people that go to great lengths to rat hole dope,
yeah,
and this guy just puts it on his head. No, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You know, if you're bleeding from the inside, you'll get a little sympathy. You tried. There's a 49-year-old man named Robert Bridgenolf from Springdale, Arkansas. On Sunday afternoon, he strolled on down to the Dollar Tree to steal some bagel bites.
All
right. It's a nice Sunday afternoon,
yeah,
isn't it?
Good bagel bite.
I reckon I might just head on down to the Dollar Tree and steal me some bagel bites. Mm-mm. Well, the manager of the Dollar Tree didn't appreciate having his store viewed as an easy mark. So the manager of the Dollar Tree chased Roger outside, and then Roger assaulted the manager. How?
How?
By whacking him on the head with the box of frozen bagel bites. Then he ran off to hide in the Wendy's nearby, but he couldn't help himself and now wound up slapping a woman as he was hiding. He was arrested for robbery, assault, resisting arrest, public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and disrespecting the notion that when pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, Stan, you have taught me, and you taught it to me years ago when I didn't even believe you. You said, Haney, no matter what they tell you, everybody's got a kink.
Everybody.
Now, most of the time, that'll manifest in a sexual manner, but not always.
No. You know, I was thinking about that, and you're right, not always in a sexual manner. If in lumping it that way, your kink, you won't take a news story at face value. You are obsessed with looking at unredacted, deep, and it's like you could say, Haney, stop, it's burning your brain. But you can't stop doing it.
Somebody has to, Stan.
You can't, and that's your kink.
That's my kink, is unredacted documents.
Yeah. Deep.
You think it's sick.
Yeah, it's not right.
Well, you certainly don't mind the fruits of my obsession.
Sometimes. Like best of shows. We go back 15 years, and you're authoritative. I've read it. It turned out to be completely false.
That's not true.
Don't make me go and spend a long weekend digging up all that stuff.
If we were to both spend a long weekend digging through stuff, who would be wrong more often?
I'm not saying I wouldn't be wrong more often, but you're wrong sometimes, and you gotta admit it.
And how many times did I have the big story?
But you missed on a couple of them, too.
But I was trying.
I know you were.
I was going with the best information I had at the time.
You got a kink.
Well, 66-year-old Jerry Foxhoven has a kink.
I bet he does.
And it cost him big time. You see, in my line of work, I have the luxury of having a kink.
Yeah.
Pretty much any kink I want.
Yeah.
You know, within reason.
Yeah.
But for Jerry, he had a very important job. Jerry was the Department of Human Services Director for the entire state of Iowa.
It's a big job. Yeah, not a lot of people out in Iowa, but it's a big job.
But it's a statewide job, and your kink will come under the microscope. What was Jerry's?
What?
Well, apparently 66-year-old Jerry Foxhoven was a massive Tupac fan.
Oh, two packs of sugar, huh?
And Jerry couldn't control it. And unfortunately, it bled over into his work life. Number one, Jerry liked to host what he called Tupac Fridays.
Right on.
Every week, where he would play Tupac music in the office all day.
Some of it might not be appropriate.
Number two, remember, this is a 66-year-old man.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now, white-haired.
Doesn't look the type.
Nope.
Jerry regularly emailed lyrics to coworkers. A search of the state computer system found Jerry sent well over 350 pages worth of emails referencing Tupac and his lyrics over the past 2 years alone. On his 65th birthday, Jerry had Tupac cookies decorated with the words Thug Life, the tattoo across Tupac's abs. And finally, last month, Jerry sent an email to all of his 4,300 employees telling them, on his authority, they needed to commemorate Tupac's birthday over the weekend by honoring him and listening to his music. The next day, sadly, Jerry was asked to resign personally by the governor of the state of Iowa. Apparently, people had complained about Jerry before and felt the email was the last straw, yet nobody had the heart to tell Jerry, so they called in the governor to fire him.
You know, and you're a fan, you're a fan.
Jerry never knew. He thought everybody dug it. There in Iowa. Nice. And that's the news for today, Wednesday, July 17th.
Little Monkey Haney selling it like
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Monkey Haney selling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
Whatever you do, Stan, don't press the red button. Damn it. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. We're desperately late. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's see what we got here. Let's start. Well, these are all in Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle, South Cleveland Avenue and Cypress Lake Drive. Then we have a crash, Fort Myers. Cape Coral Bridge at the College Parkway side. And Fort Myers crash, McGregor Boulevard and College Parkway. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Men and women will never understand each other. It's what every song is written about. It's what every book is written about. We'll never understand each other. It's always conflict. Everybody got, we're not satisfied with what we got. We always want more. And we'll never understand what each of us really wants. I'm going to dispel all the rumors here tonight. Ladies, I'm sorry I'm being so blunt. And guys, I'm sorry I'm giving up our secret. But all men want in life are four things. We want to eat, sleep, poop, and have sex. That's it. If it doesn't fit into one of those four categories, ladies, we really don't care about it at all. And ladies, if you're here with a guy who's telling you anything different, he is lying to you to get to one of those four things. And at this time of night, it's not eating, sleeping, or pooping. He wants to have sex with you. Do me a favor. For me, just have sex with the guy, please. I'm begging you. If you do it right, it takes 3 minutes. Please, just do it. We try to seem like we're interested, but we're not. We don't care about the same things you care about. We don't care if the wallpaper matches the drapes. We don't care what kind of potpourri you just put in the bathroom. We don't care what your new slippers look like. Unless you're wearing them while you're having sex with me.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy.
Hey, bub.
Oh, jeez. Where you been, pal? That's our old buddy from North Fort Myers.
I've been working on a couple of bikes with my buddies.
Where do you work on bikes at? I thought you do karaoke and you work at a strip bar.
This is 40 years ago, you dumbass.
40 years ago, you're working on some bikes.
Yes, we was having a couple of beers.
Uh-huh. Like,
okay,
like
there's
you
are nothing
now.
Wrong with that.
Okay, like
there's
you are
nothing
now.
Wrong with it.
Okay, it got you on probation and a suspended and license.
And then we was closing up the garage, and the guy says, hey, you want to go out to a titty bar? I said, no, I got to go home to my wife and my son. And I did the right thing, so I got my pickup truck, and I went home.
You never told me you had a son.
This is 40 years ago.
What, is your son dead?
Probably not.
So you're not in touch with your son, and you have an ex-wife, or have you legally divorced or not?
Well, looky here.
Looky here.
So
that's not,
remember,
even, that's
I
not
was,
even a word. Lucky.
I was working on a mic.
Yeah, 40 years
then,
ago.
And then I had a perfectly valid offer to go out and tear up a town. And I said, no, I got to get home, my wife, my kid.
Right.
I walk into my own house, and what greets me?
What?
Dead body.
What?
And so there's a dead body. There's nobody else around. And so I thought, man, what if I walked into it? What's a sensible thing to do? And so I got a sleeping bag, and I wrapped him up in that, and I threw him in the back of a pickup truck. And then my wife comes pulling in, and she starts calling me stupid, asked what I'm doing. And I said, well, why don't you tell me what the hell happened here? And she goes, well, what do you think happened here? And I said, well, there's a dead body on the floor. She goes, well, that's a great job by you, Einstein. And so then she says, well, get in the damn truck, dumbass.
What's going on here?
Well, we start driving around. I'm looking for a place to dump the body.
You can't do that.
But I don't want it to be too far away from the road so somebody could find it quick, because I didn't like the man, but he deserved the burial.
Wait a second. You're telling me right now that 40 years ago, you dumped a dead body that was found in your house and you haven't told anybody for 40 years?
Well, look here, sort of.
What?
And so I found a place where it's still on the road, and I found a sign, and I set him up like he was sitting there, and I was about to leave, and then it occurred to me what I ought to do is to get his identification. I got a piece of paper and wrote out in case of emergency to call me.
Came up to the body up against the post in the middle of nowhere, it would have had a note to call you. What?
Yeah, so I figured that way they think it never could have been him, because he's a couple miles away. Couldn't have been him. And
did your wife kill him?
Well, as it turns out, probably.
You're admitting right now, 40 years after the fact, that you suspect your wife of killing somebody and you moving the body.
Yeah.
And this means nothing to you.
Well, we went back home, and she continued to harass me and belittle me and emasculate me.
A lot of ridicule.
I said, you know what? F you. I went out and got myself another six-pack, finished that, and went to bed. So then it took them a good 48 hours, and they call up. I'm answering the phone to police because I think they found a note, and they said, do you know so-and-so? I said, yes, I know so-and-so. I just haven't seen him for a while.
But you're lying.
Yeah. Well, of course I am. And then they start putting two together, and it turns out then they come and they don't pick me up, but they pick my wife up, because she was in cahoots with this guy's girlfriend, and they got caught kiting his checks before his body was cold, and then they got him on not counterfeiting, but something with a forged instrument or something. And so then...
Forgery!
You know... Yeah, so I got a little boy, and I don't know how to take care of a kid. And then she got a public defender, and then he come to me, and he said, you know what, if we can put this on you, then you can go away, but then she'd be able to take care of your kid and all this.
Asked you to take the rap for a murder 40 years ago so that your wife and his girlfriend could go with your son, and you'd be doing the crime for the murder they committed. Did you serve any time?
Yeah, but I was in Folsom, but I was about to go to San Quentin because this shot caller was always after me. It's a long story. You got your Mexican mafia. You got your bikers. And then you got your Aryan Nation.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And you got the German side of that. You got the Irish side of that. And then you got the blacks. And I never did have a problem with the blacks.
Why are you telling me all this now on live radio?
Why am I telling you all
this?
Yes. You don't know how it feels to be me.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.